Marseille and unfinished business, and that leads logically into the second of my rock star interviews here on Xanadu. A couple of weeks ago, of course, we had Steve Hackett, and just a reminder that Steve Hackett is playing at Pacific Road this evening, so don't miss that one. Strongly recommended. This time round, I spoke to Neil Buchanan. It was an interview that I did for another reason. It was for another organisation, but I did ask Neil's permission at the beginning just to make sure that he was okay to have this broadcast on the radio. And there's some questions here about marketing and PR, the promotion of Marseille, but I think that's interesting in itself, how actually bands promote themselves. So if you're in a band and you're wanting some hints about which direction to go, then have a listen to Neil. He also talks about Art Attack and how that impacts on what he's doing now with the band, and also other bits and pieces about what's next for Marseille. Marseille, by the way, are playing next Thursday at The Mask, and thereafter the next weekend at the Hard Rock Hell in Prestatyn. So let's have a look at what Neil has to say, and we'll intersperse this with a couple more tracks from the Marseille album, Unfinished Business.
There we are. Okay, so should we kick off? It's just really... The first one was from Victor, Neil, and it was about the early years. Why you didn't go for another record contract, or why that wasn't forthcoming, you know, in the early years when Mountain went bust?
Yeah, good question, Victor. You know what? The problem was, in those days, we were very young when we signed a record deal, and, you know, there's a point. You know, anyone signing record deals, like we did straight from school, they have to get advice. They have to get legal advice. You know what we did? We got legal advice from the record company's legal representative, which was pretty ridiculous, actually. It was a silly idea. So in other words, we didn't have any legal representation. And we were completely ripped off, totally ripped off. And what happened was, at the end of the record deal, we actually went into a legal battle that lasted 2 years. And the group's name was taken from us, all the instruments were taken from us. So one minute, I was sunning myself in LA. I was running around in Learjets and stretch limos. And the next minute, I was back on the dole in Liverpool. So it was a two-year legal battle. It was as simple as that. That's why we didn't go for a record company again. 2 years down the line, it was too late. The band were finished. And trends in those days moved very quickly. I think they've slowed up a bit, the trends nowadays, but in those days they moved very quickly. And you know what? We were on the new wave British heavy metal trend. That had well gone by the time we'd got ourselves back together again. So I hope that sort of answers your question.
Yeah, I think so. I think the main thing was the ask, you know, it seemed to make sense, because you're really on the cusp of success there, weren't you, Neil? You were playing for some big audiences.
Yeah, we were huge in the States. I mean, we were big in this country, you know. We were playing in all the big theatres in this country. Your Hammersmith Odeons, your Liverpool Empires, your Manchester Apollos, those sorts of venues. We toured with and supported just about everyone and their dog. We'd been with Whitesnake, Judas Priest, UFO, to name but a few. So we'd really set ourselves up in this country. Then we went over to the States, riding on that new wave of British heavy metal tag.
Yeah.
And in fact, we were the first Nwobben band over there. And in the end, we were playing to 30,000 people every night.
Yeah.
So we were really right on the verge of making it huge.
Yeah. Thanks for that, Neil. The next one is about marketing and PR, mainly, how you promote yourself now. And we're going to lead into a little bit about rebranding, you know, your own image and that kind of stuff. But first of all, really about marketing PR. You know, what kind of methods do you use nowadays to promote yourselves? You know, primarily, you know, tours, merchandise, the CDs themselves, the downloads as well.
Yeah, things have changed. This time round for the band, things have changed. In fact, in the time that I've come out of Art Attack into the band, things have changed. I'll come to that in a second. The one thing that never changes is the need for the right image. The need for the right image, the need for the right type of marketing, how you portray the brand, the product, yourself, the salesman, whatever. That has always been there, the need to get it right. The methods have changed with technology. You know, look at this now. You know, we didn't have this a couple of years ago. We certainly didn't have it back in the Marseille time.
Yeah.
And so we use this a lot now. We use the internet a lot. You know, I'm sure you've heard the phrase 360 degrees, you know. It's 360 degree promotion, 360 degrees everything. A lot of companies now, you take someone like Live Nation. There's lots of companies that will do a record deal, but you have to give them the merchandising deal and all the other rights that go along with it. So there's different types of deals that you get yourselves in or the product into, but the important thing is how you market it, how you PR it, and the technologies have changed, so therefore you have to keep abreast of all the new ways. I'll tell you something. When Marseille the first time round, there was one route and one route only, Top of the Pops. It was as simple as that. You had to have a hit single. You know, you'd sign a record deal and the record company would say to you, right, where's the single? You'd write a bunch of songs, they'd say, where's the single? Yeah. That's all you needed. In those days, all you needed was a hit record and a good lawyer. Now, we had the hit record thing, but we didn't have the good lawyer.
Right.
We had one single that, you've got to have some luck as well. We had one single that got to number 31 in the charts the very week that the top 40 turned into the top 30. So you know, we had no luck as a band. You need luck in anything, but in those days it was just simply a case of getting on Top of the Pops, getting that single up there, getting into the charts. The rest of it took care of itself. Nowadays, market.
Together.
is so fragmented. Yeah. There are so many different ways of doing it. There are so many different tricks, and you've got to be on top of every single one of them. There's no big one. There's no big fix.
No.
There's lots of little fixes. So you've got to be on that, you know?
Yeah, got you. You mentioned on our last conversation when we were preparing for this, Neil, we were talking about social media and the difficulties of this idea that, as you quite rightly said yourself, it's not just about Top of the Pops. It's actually having the conversation with the fans, isn't it? And I know you do this after gigs, but you also, it's about conversation on social media, and that's causing a little bit of a problem because of the popularity of yourself and, of course, the band as well. Have you come up with any solutions for that yet? Because I know it's a toughie.
It's a bit different for me in the band because I also have a history with Art Attack, and I can't get away from that. The audience can't get away from that.
Sure,
even
sure.
though they see the guy on stage with a low slung Gibson Les Paul and a bit of black leather going on.
Now you're posing.
Yeah, now I'm posing. they still also see the cheeky chirpy chappy from Scouseland with a red sweatshirt on.
Sure.
So I've got that to deal with, which I'm sure we'll come to in a minute. But in terms of I've got this loyalty that the people have shown me from the Art Attack days. Hopefully I gave value. In the 15 years, the 20 series, the one thing I always wanted to do with Art Attack is I didn't want to give you anything that either taxed you or taxed your pockets to do. You know, I didn't want to do anything expensive. And so I think that's where Art Attack became a big hit. And because of that, the viewer, probably you guys, showed me a lot of loyalty and still show me that loyalty. Hopefully I got it right. And that's what's coming back for me, the loyalty. And that's gold dust. And again, I think in any form of PR, marketing, anything like that, I think you've got to give value for money. But then your audience will show you that loyalty. So the reason it's different for me is I've got that loyalty that stems from Art Attack. That comes to the Marseille gigs. So I am now still obliged to show that loyalty. It's like Disney, you know. It's a bit like Disney. The thing, I mean, love or loathe Disney.
Yep.
I think if any of you guys are into the marketing and into the PR and all that, whether you love or loathe Disney, I think you'll know that Disney are probably the best in the world at it. I mean, that's something that I've taken my hat off to for years, is the way that Disney look after their product. And that inspired me in the early years of Art Attack. But the thing is, you notice with Disney, They are saddled with having to keep that standard up. Wherever they go, they have to keep that standard up. And I sort of feel the same thing. You know, I feel with Art Attack, I've created this amazing brand. I've got the viewer loyalty, but it's still expected when I'm upstairs with the leather on and the guitar. So what we try to do in our own little way, bless us, is we do a meet and greet after the gig. Now, I know that's not a new thing, but we give value for money in the meet and greet. You know, I make sure I go out there, and everyone that wants a photograph, everyone that wants an autograph, everyone that wants a natter, I go out there and I kiss babies, you know, in inverted commas. No, not kiss babes.
Okay, got you. All right.
Okay, let's get that straight.
Yeah.
I mean, there's been a bit of that as well, but, you know.
Okay, all right.
Oh, makes an old man very happy, okay?
We can do that. We can do ethics later.
Let me have a look, guys. But the thing is, I really try to give the value for money. The album, we try to keep the price down on it. The website, we try to make it look good. We're on a real tight budget. A real tight budget. I mean, don't forget, I'm a tight arse scouser. Mm-hmm. So I'm not going to pay for this myself. It's a tight budget. The band, it was always my ambition at the beginning of year one to make the band self-funding. It's got to wipe its own face. And it does that now. It's fantastic. I had to loan it a little bit to start with, but it holds itself together now. But value for money is what it's all about. Value for money. Right across the board.
Yeah. I think you know, the gigs I've been to, people have got value for money, Neil, and they've all had a great time. And I would strongly encourage the students to go along to the Mask. It's the 30th December. Right, so the fiver's in the post now, is it? Listen.
You think you're getting free for that, mate? Don't forget, I said I'm a tight arse scouter. See what we can do for £2, eh?
Okay, we'll do. That's a deal. I think we've done that. Okay. What have we got here? I think connected to that, Neil, while you're in a train of thought, I mean, what motivates you after so much with success as an entrepreneur, as a children's TV presenter, as a personality, celebrity, what motivates you after Art Attack?
Sex, drugs and rock and roll.
Is it? Yeah. All right.
But that woke you up, didn't it?
It did, actually. I'll just have another sip of my herbal tea, then.
Your very strong herbal tea.
That's right, yes.
What motivated me? Very simple. Press the corny button. If I start to sound corny, I don't mean to. But what motivates me is very simple: creativity.
Yeah.
I've always been a creative person. And you know what? I don't mean, darling, I've always been a creative person. What I mean is, I've always had this thing inside me that makes me want to be creative. People say to me, what is creativity? You know, they expect me to come out with some great philosophy about creativity. And you know what creativity is? It's you. It's you expressing yourself. It's as simple as that. I don't care what the arty farties say. I really don't. Creativity is simply about you. In a young person, creativity is about setting your stall out in life and saying, this is who I am.
Radio Xanadu. Rock
on the radio. Come on, everybody now. Shelter
to be creative. It's as simple as that. I also, when we had an Art Attack, Art Attack eventually turned into an industry, and I had a business partner, and he used to say to me, you're the creative guy. He said, you come up with your ideas, they're great, blah, 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 blah. But he used to say, if it wasn't for me, meaning him, if it wasn't for me, those ideas would stay in your top drawer. And he was absolutely right. For me as a creative person, all I wanted to do was be creative. I sort of didn't care after that what happened to the idea, as long as I could have it. And here's proof, here's a good example. Remember the big Art Attacks?
Yeah, yeah.
Art Attack.
Yeah.
At the end of those, when I created those, and it'd take me a day to make them, at the end of them, my team would come on and just sweep them away, clear them up, trash them. And people said to me, what happens to them after you've done them? I don't know. They get thrown away. And for me, it's not the, oh my God, don't touch that. It's my work, you know. Oh, darling, you know, that's my creativity. It's not that. It's just me being able to do it.
Yeah.
And then I can happily walk away from it. So, creativity.
Sure. Thanks for that, Neil. Some students, a couple of weeks ago, some students were wondering about celebrity mags and the celebrity culture in general. We're in the midst of another series of I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. Well, I suppose I should rephrase the question. Would you ever go on that, Neil?
No. Not in the slightest bit interested.
Why do people do that?
Well, you know what? You ask me what motivates me. I get up in the morning and I'm creative. I come up with an idea. I love the idea. I don't necessarily love myself. I'm not saying, oh, don't love myself, give me some pills and send me to a therapist. What I mean is the thing that turns me on is the idea, not me. And I'm not necessarily a performer. If I was being honest, I think I'm pretty good as a performer. I think I'm old enough to be objective now. There's no ego, you know. I'm an old git, so I don't sort of get anything by saying that. I can be very objective. I'm actually pretty good at performing. But I don't get any pleasure out of it. I get pleasure out of me being the conduit for the idea.
Yeah.
That's what turns me on. So in terms of going into the jungle, if you want to take one of my ideas into the jungle, wins, then fantastic.
Yeah.
And it's like when, because Art Attack won 37 or 8, something like that, awards worldwide. And for me, the important thing was that, funnily enough, the majority of them I never collected because I wasn't into the lovey-dovey events. So I always used to send someone to collect them or whatever. Actually, I'm not really into that. You know, some people are. Some people are performers, and that's what drives them, and they get up in the morning to perform. And that's cool. That's fine. But that's not me.
Okay, that's good. Where are we? Fans. Your fan strongholds nationally and internationally. Where do you get your fans from? You know, are they existing fans or the potential fans? You know, any plans to tour abroad or anything like that?
And as far as Marseille are concerned, I've said to the guys right at the start when we started, I said, listen, guys, you know what? If we're going to start this band off again, we've got to rise or fall on the band. We're not piggybacking on Art Attack. It's a different thing. I'm not going to go out and wear a red sweatshirt and stuff. You know, I mean, we do it. Actually, if you do come to the gig, guys, we do have a laugh on stage. Occasionally, I do something pertaining to Art Attack or whatever. And people even turn up in Art Attack t-shirts. So we always homemade ones, of course.
Yeah.
We always put them on stage at some point. So there's obviously a connection. I can't get away from that, and I wouldn't want to. But in terms of Marseille, it's got to stand or fall on its own feet.
Yeah.
I don't mind giving it a bunk up. I don't mind people advertising it saying Neil Buchanan from Art Attack and his band Marseille. I'd prefer them to say Marseille with Neil Buchanan.
Yeah.
Can't wait for the day when they say Marseille and they don't mention me.
Yeah.
But it's got to stand or fall on its own merit, mate.
Absolutely. So you just got to go with the flow, see what happens with that. Yeah. It's difficult to predict, isn't it? Right, where are we? I think that's mainly it for student questions, Neil. I think what we'll do is...
kid you not, this is not a word of lie or exaggeration. In those 11 days that we've just done, I had one meal.
Well,
thank God for Marks and Spencer's service stations, because we'd pull into the Marks and Spencer's service station, we'd get sandwiches. They had to be at a certain standard, you know.
Oh yes.
We'd get sandwiches, we'd get nuts, we'd get fruit, and that's how we lived for 11 days, and it was knackering. Seriously, I've never had anything so tiring in my life. So I had a big smile on my face, but hey man, I was dead.
Yeah. There's a chance for a plug anyway, Neil. What's in store for phase two? I know you've got Liverpool on the 3rd, haven't you? That's the one I can remember.
I think it's the 2nd.
Thursday the 2nd, sorry, that's me, yeah.
I think it's the 2nd, and it's the Thursday night at the Mask.
I've just lost my fiver.
There's a band on with us called Exit State, who are fab, you know Exit State, and also Liverpool band, if he's on the Hill, who are also an amazing band.
Oh, yeah.
Us guys, Marseille, also from Liverpool.
Yeah, so that'll be good, and... Should I put the tour dates up here on screen and we can have a look at them, Neil? Just so we can just see. Hang on, it's Marseille Online. Just bear with me a sec.
MarseilleOnline.co.uk.
Yeah, let's have a look. We'll cut this bit out, obviously, when it goes out, but just we might as well get the gigs right, mightn't we?
Actually, there's a couple that have changed. Online they'll be up to date.
Well, I'll tell you what, let's just say ask people to go. We'll start that one again then, Neil. We won't go back into that interview, but so MarseilleOnline.co.uk for updates on the latest dates. There we are. You've got Liverpool on the 2nd of December, for those of you listening with Wirral Radio now, so do check that one out. That's Marseille with Exit State and Hippies on the Hill. Hippies on the Hill, quite a young band, aren't they, as well? So there's a lot to see for everyone.
Yeah, they're kicking a lot of ass in Liverpool at the moment. They're doing really, really well. They're a real ballsy band. They kick up good party time. So we thought it'd be really good to bring them on with us, because they've been in touch with us a couple of times, and they've been saying to us, hey, guys, your daddies are kick-ass. You know, we're the new boys. Let's get together. And they're fab. They're a fab band, so we're looking forward to that.
I think this is going to be one of the first times the students are going to go to a gig and the musicians are younger than the students. Well, in their case, anyway.
Exactly. For one second in time, then I thought you were talking about me. And I thought,
sorry. I'm not going to reveal numbers, but anyway. So you're hitting the band's spiritual home of Liverpool. So Liverpool was where it all started, wasn't it? You've been back before, but not in a proper tour. This is the first time in a proper...
Yeah, we came back, but low profile, while we were still just working the thing together and also trying to put it together in our own heads as to what we were going to do with it. We went to the Cavern, but that was a low-key thing. And we also played New Brighton Fort last summer, which was fantastic. We were just getting cobwebs off. But then the UK tour, it, in a way, is the official launch of the band. So really, this is our homecoming. This is the first time in the centre of Liverpool with all the bells and whistles, you know.
Yeah, yeah. And you've been playing to some big audiences in phase one, and that's obviously set to continue.
Yeah, it's been brilliant. I mean... we've been really surprised at the turnouts, and what's incredible is we've had all the heritage rockers turning up, who obviously from years ago had seen the band the first time round, but we've had just the most massive student following, which is really good. And now that's obviously because of my Art Attack connection and stuff, so which is really nice. But it's great because when you've got the young ones in, all the students, they just go crazy. And funny enough, I think to some of them, it's the first time some of them have seen a traditional kick-ass rock band. And so that's a recipe for party time.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, one of my students, it was Victor again, he was mentioning this, well, he loves the album. It's not his kind of music either. You know, he's into hip-hop and DJing and that kind of stuff, but he loves the... He didn't say the exact track, so you know, maybe Fiverr's in the post to Victor anyway.
Yeah. What I tried to do with the album is that when we were together, it is a slight departure from what Marseille used to. Actually, no, it's not a departure. It's a progression.
Sure.
Years ago, we didn't like the records that we made. We you know, because of budgetary restrictions from the record company in those days, and the lack of gags, we had the wrong producers. And so we used to be great live, but we used to make terrible records. Now, we've made the record. We agree this is the record that we all wanted to make. So we're really proud of it. We think it's great. But, you know, it is... It was described in one of the press reviews as muscle and melody. And so, in other words, it's kick-ass, but you go away singing the tunes as well.
Yeah, I think that's important, isn't it? So people get hold of the tunes. It's sort of an old-fashioned way of looking at things. But it's, people need a tune in their head when they leave, don't they, I think?
Yeah, I mean, to me, the dream band, if there is such a thing, the dream band would be AC/DC playing Beatles.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, you've got the most fantastic songs played with real blood and guts, you know.
Well, you've mentioned a couple of influences there, Neil. Any others that we should have a look at and, you know, recommendations?
Yeah, well, what you've got to remember is I look at things in several ways. I look at it, what music do I like to play? Mm. Now, I like to play your AC/DC, you know, a power chord, kick it. It should come from the B-A-double-L-S's.
Yes.
Opposed to the head.
Right, got you.
It's balls. It spells balls.
It's on working it out.
Yeah, it spells balls. It should come from the balls instead of the head. And that's what I like to play. Now, I also look at it from the point of view of a guitarist. And I've got many guitar influences. I love Michael Schenker, ex from UFO, and now Michael Schenker of Michael Schenker. I like Brian May from Queen. Van Halen, from a guitarist point of view. I look at bands from a producer's point of view. So there's other influences in there as well. So I like lots of different types of. I like Nickelback. I like what they're doing with their songs. You know, so there's loads of influences for me, mate.
Yeah, yeah, and also with the other guys as well. Nige being such a strong singer, you can handle all that. Those different types of influences, can't he? So from the more kind of upbeat AC/DC type stuff to the more melodic stuff, he's got that vocal range, hasn't he?
Oh,
shall indeed. Well, we had to cut the interview with Neil Buchanan of Marseille and formerly of Art Attack there. Just one or two references that we couldn't broadcast on Xanadu, real names and people like that. So, well, I hope you got the message in that interview. Sorry about the not-so-brilliant sound on that one. We couldn't get Neil up in the studio, so we had to do it by Skype, but hopefully you'll have picked up a reasonable quality at your end there. So good old Skype, eh? So there's a video version of that going up on YouTube very soon, so look out for that, for the extended version of that interview if you're being nosy, which I hope you are. Just to mention once again, two rock star interviews over the last couple of Oliver Pike programs. Steve Hackett, if you're listening on Saturday, well, he's on tonight at Pacific Road. And if you're listening on Sunday, I'm sorry, but you've missed it. But you still can buy the album, the live album, Live Rails. And that's strongly recommended. Some great classic Genesis tracks on there. If we've got time, we'll play a Steve Hackett song to lead out the program. But I wanted to play this one that Neil Buchanan mentioned as one of his major influences. He said that AC/DC was one of them, and I know you're all AC/DC fans out there, so why not play a bit of Back in Black?
I've been too long.
Okay, so just before I go, hope you've enjoyed the program. It's Oliver Pint here. We were talking to Neil Buchanan of Marseille, and he's playing next Thursday at The Mask in Liverpool. And also on the bill are Exit State and Hippies on the Hill. So a good bill for you there. And tonight, if you're listening on Saturday, that's Steve Hackett. He's doing his live show at Pacific Road. If you miss it, if you're listening on the Sunday, you can buy Live Rails, the album. God, my fiver is in the post, isn't it? Anyway, so I suppose that's partly why I'm here, and partly to play some good music too. I hope you're doing, you're listening to me, and I hope I'm doing that for you here on Radio Xanadu. I'm going to play out with Steve Hackett, but before that I just wanted to mention another recommendation. I'm really looking forward to the Hawkwind tour. They are playing next month as well, and there's also a Space Ritual gig at Pacific Road. I haven't got the dates in front of me of those, but if you go onto Space Ritual site and the Hawkwind site, you'll be able to check those out. And don't forget also Hard Rock Hell. A couple of friends of mine are going to that. I'm going to miss out on that one, but that's in Prestatyn. If you fancy a festival, a winter gathering, if you like, that's over at Prestatyn. So quite a lot of activity still to happen over the next few weeks or so before the big red fella jumps down the chimney. On that note, I'll finish with a seminal song by Steve Hackett. It's called Clocks, Angel of Mons. See you next week. Thank you.